you know, one of my favorite quotes of the year. It's by the president and CEO of the Indian Resource Council. His name is Stephen Buffalo. In the National Post, he wrote, "We have heard a great deal from environmentalists, many of whom proudly declare they're working on behalf of the First Nations. Why not? We do not need that. We do not need that. They do not speak for all of us. We share the environmentalist concern about the future of our planet, but wonder why they are so determined to undercut the few opportunities we have to enjoy the kind of economic prosperity that non-Indigenous people take for granted in this country." I say, why indeed? I mean, he goes on to say in quotes, "When pipeline opponents use the courts to slow or stop pipelines, they undermine our businesses, eliminate our jobs in our communities, and reduce the amount of money flowing into our governments." That's an especially appropriate comment, by the way, given that EcoJustice has just filed a motion, at least in the federal court, on behalf of Raincoast Conservation Foundation and Living Ocean Society, asking for the right to appeal the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion approval. Pipeline opponents, including politicians, it's politically, it's locally, we can go Vancouver or Burnaby, have refused to acknowledge the First Nations groups that support the Kinder Morgan pipeline expansion. Well, those First Nations groups that don't support, I mean, what we've done is we've given tons of coverage to the people who are opponents from the First Nations, but not much coverage to First Nations groups that do support the pipeline. In fact, if you go back about a year, just a year and a bit, if you had asked the general public, do you think there's any First Nations that support them? I think the answer would have been no, because that's how one-sided the coverage was. The fact, and it is a fact, is they refuse to acknowledge the First Nations leaders, and there are many who say that the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, as well as the Coastal Gas Link, see it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to alleviate poverty on the reserves. That's why they got over 40 signed mutual benefit agreements with Kinder Morgan. Come on, that's got to make the progressive left to tell us how much they always care about the poor uncomfortable. And I also want you to note, and I do want you to note this, you haven't heard any of the prominent poverty advocates, the one the media always go to, say anything in support of the First Nations who want to alleviate poverty on their communities through agreements with Kinder Morgan or the Coastal Gas Link. I mean, this week we hear that Indigenous communities from across British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Alberta, under the banner of Project Reconciliation, are proposing to buy a majority 51% stake in Kinder Morgan. Come on, that's got to put the final nail in the coffin of the embarrassing nonsense that all First Nations oppose Trans Mountain. Yes, there certainly are First Nations who oppose the Trans Mountain pipeline expansion. Six of them launched yet another court case this week to overturn the government's approval. But the vast majority of First Nations that are directly impacted by the Trans Mountain expansion and the Coastal Gas Link support the projects. That sound you hear, by the way, is the sound of anti-pipeline activists falling off their high horse of self-righteousness with a resounding thud for their consistent arrogance in purporting to speak for all First Nations people. And it hasn't been just the federal government who, according to the Court of Appeals, failed to sufficiently consult with First Nations over the Trans Mountain pipeline expansion. No, opponents have absolutely shown no interest in talking with the bands who do support the expansion. I mean, anybody want to bet me that Green Party leader Andrew Weaver or Elizabeth May or Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart or before him Gregor Robertson, anyone from the Burnaby or Vancouver City Councils, have sat down and heard the concerns of First Nations leaders like Stephen Buffalo or Nathan Matthew or Joe Bevan or Karen Ogden, Wayne Sparrow, Ernie Cray, Delbert Wapas, who's the executive chair of Project Reconciliation, who sees the pipeline expansion as a huge opportunity to raise the standard of living for First Nations. God knows how we've been going about it to date hasn't worked. All of the federal talk, all the provincial talk hasn't worked. I don't know about you, but I find all the talk about being concerned about Indigenous rights a little hollow when they're only interested in hearing from groups that further their agenda. Maybe because that they don't like the message of leaders like Stephen Buffalo, and they certainly don't like what Ernie Cray, advisor to the Stolo Tribal Council, said, in quotes, "The majority Indigenous people along the proposed Kinder Morgan route live in poverty. If you oppose the Kinder Morgan expansion, you're telling these folks they can't live the comfy lifestyle you enjoy. What you have is just too good for them. Racism has many faces, including yours," end of quote. Now, I'm not suggesting that opponents like BC Premier John Horgan or Green Party leader Andrew Weaver or David Suzuki and others on the progressive left, for that matter, aren't totally welcome to their opposition. They certainly are. What I'm suggesting is that in doing so, they are ignoring the wishes to raise their people out of poverty heck, not even acknowledging their wishes of the vast majority of First Nations directly impacted. In the old days, you know what? That would have cost them at least one of their virtue signaling merit badges, but I guess not today, because we ignore it.